Welcome back, everybody. Could I get the panelists to come to the front, please? Hi, could I get the panelists to come to the front, which would include Mathieu, Lisa, Jordan, Eberhardt, Roloff, Giovanni? Please.
Just in case we take a temperature.
Is Lisa in the room? And Jordan. We need Lisa and Jordan. Jordan, come on up. Kim, could you send Lisa an email? Okay, welcome back, everybody. We're going to get going again with the agenda. As I think you'll all know, this is the first of three significant blocks of time allocated to the discussion regarding CWG stewardship and CCWG accountability. We've purposely organized this so that the first session will be a little bit of a level set of where we're at, and we have the benefit of having two of the co-chairs, or a co-chair of each of the two working groups being CCNSO member or a CCTLD manager and operator. So they are going to give us the lay of the land from their perspectives at this time, and then each of our appointed members to the CCWG will provide their feedback and input on the state of play for the CCWG. As you can see, there are a number of us up here, so I'm going to ask all of our panelists to provide a full and frank review from their perspective of the status of the CCWG and the substance, but to please be respectful of the fact that we do have to get through this session and there are a number of us who all need to speak. And I will do my best to keep us moving. From that perspective, just to level set where we're at, I'm going to provide an initial reminder of where we were when we left Dublin. But I did, before we get going, just want to remind everybody here that today is International Women's Day. And generally speaking, we have good diversity in the CCNSO community on that front. But I would be remiss if I didn't notice that, not right now, not for lack of trying, but I also know that Lisa can more than hold her own with any number of us up front. So I never have any fear that she can hold her own, absolutely. Anyway, just in terms of level setting where we're at and providing a starting point for the discussion going forward, we do have a couple of slides, and I will put the first slide up here. And I'm just going to take 5 to 10 minutes to get us going and level set, and then pass it on to each of the co-chairs. You will likely remember this slide, or hopefully you'll remember this slide. We saw it in Dublin, and it is an attempt to show us where we are in the process and the different parts of the process. Back in Dublin, we were a little further back in the process, but as you can see, a couple of the elements have been completed, and you can see that on the slide. And we now are on the far right of the slide where it's the time for the SO and ACs to review the final proposal and decide or not to submit it to the board for their consideration. I think it's worth noting along the top of this diagram, the ICG proposal. It is essentially done, but they are waiting for the outcomes of the various SOAC reviews before they submit it. So it is not stamped completed, as the others are. However, it is effectively done and simply waiting to hear from the SO and ACs. So that gives us a sense of all the moving parts and where we are in the process with regards to all of the separate tracks. Now, if we move on to the next slide, space bar, will that do it? Nope, I don't have control of it. Two different decks, okay. And what we have provided here essentially is, and I'm going to have to take a time out to put my glasses on, I'm sorry. I can see really well as long as it's 24 inches in front of me. Yeah, what we put together is essentially, where did we leave Dublin? And the document on the screen is a consolidation of the document that, in fact, Jordan put together at the completion of the Dublin meeting. It's been provided to the community and has been published shortly after Dublin, in fact. And it was just a compilation of where we were at the end of our Dublin meeting. And I think that's important just to level set us going forward. It's not that we can't talk about the substance, but I think the full substance of the CCWG report, but I think it's important to note where we were when we left Dublin and provide that kind of as a framework or jumping off point, at least, for the discussion over the next couple of days. And we've highlighted what I think were the key points of discussion during Dublin. So, for example, bullet point number one, changes to the fundamental bylaws. The key there is CCNSO PDPs really can't be blocked. Needless to say, we were supportive of that. Changes to the standard bylaws. Again, same thing vis-a-vis any CCNSO PDPs. There was recall, the potential for recall of the entire board. We were supportive of that. There was rough consensus on the incorporation of AOC reviews and consensus on the incorporation of AOC commitments and principles into the bylaws. There was consensus on incorporating into the bylaws an article regarding human rights. And moving on to the other, I think, key points here. And again, this is based on the document that went out at the end of the Dublin meeting, that there was consensus that we as SONACs also had to be accountable in this process, and there will be some refinements there. The fact that the CWG requirements would be met was absolutely critical. Also, the capability to remove individual board members, there was consensus around that. There was rough, though certainly not unanimous, consensus about the single designator enforcement model. And there was consensus around the right to veto the budget. As hopefully many will recall, there was discussion around the GAC advice, and the general consensus there was that it wasn't a matter on which the CCTLD, or the CCNSO rather, should be taking a view. So when we left Dublin, that was the basic understanding after all of the time and effort spent discussing this subject in Dublin as it pertained to the third draft. So that's where we left. And fundamentally, the discussion over the next couple of days will be about, and where have we come since that time frame? And I think we have come a long ways. I mean, that was certainly my impression. And just as an example, if we go back to the first slide, Kim, or the previous slide, you know, items number 1 and 2, both of those have seen change since the third draft. And I think that that's absolutely critical, an example of how the fourth draft or the final proposal has been modified to take into account the expressed concerns of this community and others. But from my perspective, that's where we are in the process. That's where we left Dublin after considerable discussion and debate. And I think that this is a good jumping off point, as I've said, for the conversation over the next 2 days. And with that, I'm going to pass it over first to Mathieu to give us his update from the CCWG, wearing his CCWG co-chair hat, because we are also going to ask Mathieu to speak as a CCNSO member later. But right now, he's going to put on his CCWG accountability co-chair hat and give us an update from that perspective. Mathieu.
Thank you very much, Byron. And thank you for this setting the scene introduction, which is perfectly well reminding us where we left in Dublin. I'm going to speak to slide 14. Straight. So I'm not going to go through all the presentation. I want to thank the Secretariat for preparing the small documentation that has been provided on the tables, which is... we probably don't have the same numbering. We'll fix it. So the idea was to provide you with the description of all the recommendations, a high-level summary, and the changes since the third report. And I will only focus on some of these in this discussion. So can you go back a few slides? Oh, the other way around. Oh, they're in the other direction. That's interesting. So... Again. Well, no.
How does the slide look that you want to have?
Okay. What's the title of the slide you're
looking for? The one I'm looking for is, why does it matter? Yeah, that's a good thought. I don't think it's that direction.
Is that the set of slide you're
it
looking for?
It should be.
Okay, check here. Don't find it.
Wrong set of sides. It's okay, wrong set of sides. But that's good documentation. So, why does it matter? So, just a reminder that what we are in need here is to approve or not the Workstream 1 recommendations from the CCWG accountability. It's a set of 12 recommendations that have been finalized in February 23rd and sent over to the chartering organizations. It is Workstream 1, and Workstream 1 is defined as those recommendations that need to be in place or committed to before the INS stewardship transition can take place. As a consequence, it's delivering the structural improvements to ICANN that we feel are necessary because of the NTIA transition, stewardship transition, I should say, before my neighbor to the left hits me. And it's been designed so that not only does it deliver those changes that are strictly needed, but also it secures the ability for further enhancements to take place, even if there was resistance from within the organization. And so that's the second part, which takes place in Workstream 2, and that also needs to take place even beyond Workstream 2, as ICANN keeps enhancing its accountabilities, because obviously it's a journey, and it's not there's no way, it's not an end game. So I think we have left the components of the proposal intact. There are still four key building blocks, which are changes to the principles of ICANN, its mission, changes to the independent appeals mechanisms by enhancing significantly the IRP, for instance, some adjustment on the ICANN board of directors, which remains front and center in running the corporation so that it's efficient. And, of course, you will remember, if you were here in Dublin, all the discussions around how to empower the community with a very limited set of powers. So, what changed since Dublin? Byron, you already introduced one key change, which was present in the third report already. It's not a change from the third and the fourth report, but it's a change since Dublin, which was that the request from the CCTLDs to have the outcome of a CCNSO PDP, if a bylaw change is needed, cannot be vetoed by the other parts of the community. That had been taken into account already. Since the third report, there have been significant work, and I think it's fair to say the month of January was absolutely crazy in terms of calls and reviewing every of the comments. Some of the changes that are significant to us are the fact that the IRP, so the Independent Appeals Panel, will have the ability to, it will be possible to go in front of the IRP if after the escalation process with the INA function, we as customers, so direct customers, will be able to challenge actions or inactions from PTI in front of the IRP after the escalation process as elaborated by the CWG. That was an important point for the CWG. There were a number of discussions on the escalation around the community powers. So as we introduced in Dublin, there's always three phases. The engagement phase, where the ICANN board or ICANN staff engages with the community about a decision that has to be taken. Once the decision is taken, if there is dissatisfaction in the community, there's an escalation phase where, with a number of occasions to discuss and find ways to solve the issue without going into a formal decision. And then there is a decision if only if this all fails. And in this escalation process, there were some timeline issues and glitches. It was very aggressive timelines that had been raised by several contributors. So we fixed that timeline issue in the final report. We've also discussed a lot about the GAC, the role of governments. I think this is very much at the core of many of the of ICANN's discussions. It's been the case for as long as I've been there, actually. So it's no surprise. As discussed in Dublin, the outcome of the Dublin discussion was that this was not particularly a topic where, as CCTLDs as a whole, we felt we had consensus. We needed to make a statement. But it's in terms of reporting, I can tell you that, number one, there was agreement to include as part of the ATRT reviews a new item about the effectiveness of how the GAC interacts with the various parts of the community. So that includes the CCNSO. So that's an opportunity for us, if we think the GAC is misbehaving in interacting with us, to actually add this to the ATRT reviews and recommendations. And this was intensive discussions about the compromise that was found around the stress test 18 discussion. So how the GAC advice can be formulated, the rules for that to be taken into for the board to be forced to try and find a mutually agreeable solution with the GAC before acting in a manner that's not consistent with its advice. And this led also to a discussion about what is probably wrongly named, but the GAC carve-out option, which is creating a lot of tension amongst governments because they feel they're being singled out, but is also following the positions from many in the GNSO, essentially saying that it would be not be a good thing for the GAC to have two bites of the apple, and I'm quoting, because they would be able to provide advice to the board, and if the board acted inconsistent with this advice, they would still be able to participate in a community decision to challenge this decision by the board. Very political. If you want to elaborate on that later on the Q&A, I'm happy to, and we have Becky Burr, who is much more of a specialist of that. I sometimes take liberties about it, but when trying to detail it, because it's very technical. But basically, this is the core discussion in the GAC right now, because there's a minority statement by a significant number of governments, and that's on the agenda. It's been on the agenda for the full week, but probably not the center of our CCTLD concerns. A few other stuff have been added. The ICANN board actually suggested that the community be empowered to have an investigation right, so launch an investigation, sort of force the board to appoint an external auditor to investigate an issue. It can be a security issue. It can be a corruption, fraud, accusations, or anything. So that's a new thing that was actually introduced by the board itself, so that's worth noting. There were some discussions on what happens if a board director sues someone from the CCNSO leadership, for instance, because they introduced a petition to remove this particular board director, and the board director feels that it's actually causing a prejudice and so on. So there's been some indemnification rules that have been added to the report. And we've also added an item of work for Workstream 2, which is around staff accountability. What are the roles and responsibilities of staff when supporting working groups or in terms of transparency with regards to the community? Of course, being mindful of the employer-employee relationship. that exists for staff, which makes it quite different from what our engagement rules within ICANN are. That's the list of changes. All the board concerns have been addressed. I'm not speaking about CWG because Lisa will do that later, but I think it's worth saying that we had a list of board concerns. They've all been discussed, addressed. The ICANN board has confirmed they're okay with the outcome. That was an important point. And in terms of attention for CCTLDs, I'd like to just add a couple of things. The delegation revocation, it's still outside of the IRP until we have found our own process and policy for that. And we have worked a lot on the budget details. There have been a number of discussions with the CWG to make sure we fully address their requirements. I'll leave this to Lisa. But there are two different processes to veto either the PTI budget or the ICANN budget. And we have expanded on the concept of the caretaker budget that would kick in if there is a veto on the one-year budget or one-year plan. And we are already seeing that ICANN Finance is starting to incorporate this notion into the way they're building the budget this year. So I think this has made good progress as well. And I know this was a concern that we had discussed. So finally, just a big thanks to the four other members of the CCD NSO who were part of these efforts. It was tiring at times, certainly demanding. And also to a special thanks to Becky and Jordan, who have been rapporteurs and carried, I mean, they really did the heavy lifting in many of these discussions. So I think it's worth saying that after this work, the CCTLD contribution is well recognized all across ICANN. And I think that's also something that is worth taking for us. And I've, before turning to the question, I'd say, remember there's Workstream 2 coming. This is not the end of the game. This is just Workstream 1. This is a set of political agreements with very much details about it. There still remains needs to be implemented, and it's going to be challenging, but challenging because of the amount of work, and it's a technical challenge, not a political challenge, but it's still a challenge. And Workstream 2 is still coming. And, of course, we have prioritized Workstream 1, but Workstream 2 is still coming, and Workstream 2 will be even more challenging because it's going to be about changing some aspects of the culture on staff accountability, diversity, SOAC accountability. It's not going to be easy. We need to remain committed on that, and that's an important point. And I'll finish with a quote that was given to me by one of the GAC ambassadors yesterday in the high level. The difficult is that which can be done immediately, the impossible which takes a little longer. So Workstream 1, Workstream 2. Thank you, Byron.
Thank you, Mathieu. This session is an hour and a half, and we will most definitely have an opportunity for Q&A at the end after we've heard from each of our members, as well as Lisa. But are there any quick questions of clarification or understanding for Mathieu before we move on to Lisa? No? Okay. Lisa.
Well, thank you, Byron. I got the hint. The members and Lisa not being with the CCNSO community anymore. But thank
you're,
you.
You're reading into that. You're always welcome.
Oh, that's good. Oh, thank you. No. I did. And actually, you took my introduction by saying it's International Women's Day, you know. And even though I can manage myself, I would love to see much women up here. So go get them, girls. Okay. As you know, the very long and hard work done by Mathieu and colleagues were made dependent on actually fulfilling some requirements set by the CWG. Next slide. And why did we do that? Well, we were two working groups working in parallel. We were trying to avoid overlapping work, and we wanted to ensure consistency in what was actually been proposed. So we actually made the IANA stewardship transition proposal dependent on a set of requirements, so the CWG could actually draft those in their proposal. And that created a lot of issues, of course. And actually, like Patrick Fellstrom said yesterday, the ICG has not submitted their proposal yet because of this dependency. Next slide, please. So what are the dependencies? Well, the first one was in relation to the ICANN budget. We needed to ensure that the community had a right to actually decide over the budget, and we wanted to be a part of looking into the details and also having a possibility to reject the budget in a way. Furthermore, we thought that the ICANN board, it was very important for us also that whatever was done with the PTI or IANA was connected to the community rights in order to appoint or remove members or recall the entire board. Number three is that actually we wanted to have an IANA functions review, and we wanted this to be incorporated in the bylaws. It's important that you take a review of IANA. We proposed after 2 years and then every 4 years. But this needed to be in the bylaws, and we thought the bylaws were a part of the accountability group's work. So this was a dependency. Next slide, please. Then in the proposal, there is a customer standing committee, and that's actually what I find is very important with the new setup and the proposal for IANA. This customer standing committee is actually the different communities that has a possibility to follow and have an oversight of IANA. And this needed to be incorporated into the bylaws, so we ensured this group for the future. We had a request for an appeal mechanism, and that should also... How to actually incorporate this in the proposal was not set in stone, so this was more... We needed a possibility to actually react on PTI or IANA's actions or inactions, just as important. And we wanted some of these requirements to be in the fundamental bylaws. That was the last dependency. Next slide, please. And as many of you know, in December we had an opportunity to review a third draft from the accountability group. But the CWG found that the draft didn't meet all the requirements. So we actually had to highlight in specific two issues. And those were the IANA functions budget. And the other one was the appeal mechanism. Next slide, please. And, well... The draft had the following issues. One was that the IANA budget lacked the details we wanted. We actually specified a lot of the details that needed to be in the IANA budget in order to be able to follow how the money was used on different projects. Was money used for developing IANA, or was it used for salaries, or where were the money going? Also, since this was not a finalized process, we wanted to have within the draft that the CWG is actually going to develop a process for this budget review. And last but not least, the appeal mechanism seemed to have disappeared. It had been in a prior draft, but it was missing in this third draft. Next slide, please. Well, so the CWG worked very closely with the CCWG. We have a lot of overlapping persons. I think it's, I don't know the number, but it's more than 10 people are overlapping in both groups, and those can actually ensure the consistency. But also we had the design team leads. We had formed design teams for every subject. Those leads were working very closely with the accountability group in order to solve these issues. So now we actually could send a letter to the accountability group. Next slide, please. With a happy message that we found that all our requirements have been met. So I put in a little sunrise here to see this is the start of a very nice and good time for ICANN. So for us, I must say we confirmed. I've been really impressed by the work and the cooperation between the two groups. It's been great to actually work on the actual wording, because in the end, as they all say, the devil is in the detail, and that's what we found when we reviewed the third draft. But now, in the revision, everything has been met, and we're very confident that the proposal meets all the requirements. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. And thank you for all the work of the CWG. Are there any questions of clarification or understanding for Lisa before we move on to the individual opinions of our members? Okay, with that, we have a little over 45 minutes available to us in this session. We have 5 members. I'm going to ask them to provide their thoughts and feedback on the work of the CCWG in as close to 5 minutes as they can. Respecting that part of what we want is an interactive session. It's one thing for our members to deliver their opinions and thoughts, but it's equally important to hear from the room and to ask questions to gain clarity on anything that you don't understand, that you're concerned about, or that you support, any of those three things. So as best as possible, I'm going to ask the CCNSO-appointed members of the CCWG to give us their thoughts and feelings in 5 minutes. And I'm going to start from the left. Jordan.
Thanks, Byron. Hi, everyone. Thoughts and feelings for a moment. Someone came to mind that I should try and do this through an interpretive dance, but I won't because I'm not very good at that kind of thing. Before I work through, I think the reasons that we should approve this proposal, which I do strongly think that we should do, there's a prior comment I want to make, that the working methods of this group have been really interesting, and the interactions with the ICANN board have been really interesting. And I think a lesson for future CCWGs on cross-ICANN issues like this, we need to encourage the board either to be involved from the beginning or to wait and see what the outcome of the CCWG is. We're probably about 5 months behind where we would have been if the ICANN board had chosen one of those approaches, but instead they were not involved at the start and then became heavily involved in the middle and towards the end. So I think there's a good reflection and learning process from this about the way that CCWGs can operate and the way the board can interact with them in a constructive way. And that, along with the interactions across the community that Byron mentioned in his comments in the public forum yesterday, I think are two really good outcomes of this as a learning process. So I think we should support this, and not just because I've spent too many hours on it to be able to cope with us not doing so. I'll start at the bottom of this slide. We've delivered the request from this group in terms of protecting PDPs from the CCNSO, and in terms of us setting the policy around delegation, revocation, and retirements that we talked about, and also the appeals process. So we'll set the rules for how appeals are done on those topics. It hasn't been done by the CCWG. Overall, I think that as CCTLD managers, it's in our interest that ICANN be unable to expand its scope and unable to disobey its own rules, which restrain its ability to make policy for us as CCTLD managers. And that's what this package delivers. There are new powers to hold the board to account. There's a new IRP process that I'm sure Becky can talk about in detail that means that if ICANN steps outside its bylaws, it can be held to account and those decisions can be challenged and reversed. The mission is more clearly specified and the bylaws can no longer be changed by the ICANN board on a whim. The fundamental framework of ICANN will become subject to community agreement before any changes are made, and that's a really significant thing when we're talking about a framework that has to be able to survive the end of the IANA functions contract with NTIA. There are some limits on the GAC's ability to influence ICANN, and I don't want to go through all of the details there. There's a slightly higher threshold for the board to reject GAC advice, but there's also a carve-out that says if the board acts on GAC advice and the community's got a problem with what the board decided, the GAC can't simultaneously be part of deciding to exercise or not exercise the community powers. So I think that's a really important angle to just be clear about. And so whether we were dealing with a stewardship transition or not, I think this would be a set of accountability improvements that are probably quite overdue. And the impact of them is not necessarily seeing them used often, because we don't want to see them used often, I don't think. It's the changed incentives that this creates for ICANN board and staff in following the company's mission, in serving the ICANN community, and in not deviating from that responsibility and that mission. It isn't a perfect proposal. We had arguably a better model in October with a membership structure to deliver this. For their own reasons, the board pushed back hard against that, and all part of this negotiation process is, that's what the multi-stakeholder model does. We've got to a model that can do the job. It's just a bit more complicated as a result. So I would urge you to support the proposal when it comes to the decision tomorrow. And I just want to say in closing that this is our one shot at this. If we don't approve it, if we don't get this off onto the runway tomorrow, the delays mean that this administration will not approve the transition in the United States. And as you can all see from news feeds from the United States, if you're paying any attention, God knows what's going to happen after that. So if we want this to happen, I think we have to be aware of that timing reality, which is an external constraint that we can't do anything about. Thanks.
Thank you, Jordan. And if you have any questions for Jordan, I'm just going to ask that we wait till the end, and we'll do all the Q&A for the individual members at the end of their comments. Now, carrying on in alphabetical order is Eberhard. Eberhard.
I'm just waiting for my slide. Next slide. The next one. Thank you. I will also try to do it in under 5 minutes and 11 seconds. I'm not impressed with the quality of work. 17,000 man hours, 8 trips, or 3 individual trips and 3 ICANN meetings, plus a few others. $11.4 million, $7 million went to US lawyers. They did proofreading for $600 an hour and overlooked gross errors. I'm just carrying this around to be able to bash somebody's head in with over it. I challenge anybody to tell me that he has read every page of this. It was then done into multiple languages and only given to us last week over the weekend. So I don't really know how somebody who doesn't speak good English can actually even say he's even looked at it properly. Process in an accountability situation in particular matters. So if the charter is violated repeatedly, if the working method gets changed as it moves along, if the co-chairs drive the process over consensus, whatever, that's not really the way it should be. Two members of the CCNSO, appointed CCNSO members, had a conflict of interest because they run GTLDs, dot Amsterdam and dot Paris. The CCNSO, the GNSO appointed member is a CCNSO councillor, or the other way around. So that, in my view, is a clear conflict of interest. And I spoke to her yesterday about it, so she knew it's coming. And if I could have the next slide, please. It does redesign the ICANN's dynamics. That's a nice phrase that I got from an Indian blog that I saw the other day. We should actually have restructured this properly. The government influence will increase. We don't really know whether they want to be part of the decisional, whether they want to be a decisional participant, and if they don't, then the numbers that we have put in the project really start becoming very complicated, because you need a certain number to participate in these things. The transparency of the ICANN deliberations, as far as the GAC is concerned, have been given very choice names by an independent review panel. The special consideration, the a minority report by 15 countries says they still want the 66%. We bartered them down to 60%, but still, they should not have any special consideration. What I personally do not think that an ALEC should be an SO, or any advisory committee should be an SO. The ICANN is funded on the addresses, the protocols, and the DNSO, which is split into two, so it's basically three supporting organizations. To say that, we can sit down and everything is fine, and the government, it's not the case. The influence of the governments do increase, and we should have, if that is the case, we should have basically restructured it. This is something that I've been saying since last year in Singapore already. And now the last slide. How does this really affect us? To be really honest, I don't care. Accountability, yeah, we can sit all together and sing Kumbaya. It doesn't affect a CCTLD, really. The only thing that affects a CCTLD is hostile revocation and transfer. The large CCTLDs, they have got contracts or understandings with their governments, they're not affected. It's the medium to smaller ones, in particular in developing countries, that have no protection whatsoever. The accountability measures for CCTLDs are not in there. The stress test even accommodates if a government tries to force a redelegation, we have no accountability measure to do this. We have heard, I wasn't there, but we've heard that a board member that we appointed to the board made a really not understandable comment about redelegations. Now, if I wanted to remove this board member under this, we don't really know how to do this, because the book says the majority of the AC or SO for us is that. Does that mean council? Does that mean the members? And then once that's done, we need to get another SO or AC to help us to form a community thing. And so it's designed so that nothing really will ever happen. I must say, the address. One last thing, noch. The address organization wrote very nicely that they achieved their accountability through an agreement. We do not achieve the accountability. This report is actually not even by consensus. There is minority statements from one member of each chartering organization. The government minority opinion by Argentina is supported by 15 countries, roughly. And there is a big story going on whether they are going to agree, not agree, or no objection, or whatever. It's not as clear as it is. I cannot in good conscience recommend that we accept it. I'm not saying we must vote against it. I'm just saying I cannot recommend it to accept it as is. Also, our bylaws clearly state it, what the roles of council is. I'm not sure the council can vote on this. I think it must go to the membership. And I personally think it should go to all CCTLDs that we can reach.
Thank you, Eberhard. Moving on again in alphabetical order to our next member, Roloff.
Thank you, Byron. Can I have my slide, please? Okay, while it's coming up, maybe just to take us back a little bit, I think the fact that we have two working groups, the CWG and the CCWG, is in fact a kind of a design flaw or a glitch, because in the end we are from different perspectives addressing the same issue. I think some of you still recollected on, I think, two or three occasions during different ICANN meetings, I talked about this big stick. The US oversight over ICANN through the IANA function and through the affirmation of commitments is this big stick. A stick which is so big and ugly that it kills when it hits you. It's never been used to hit ICANN, but it's been wagged in ICANN's face a few times. So I took our assignment together with the CWG and the CCWG as redesigning that stick, making sure that we had something very deadly that we could wag in ICANN's face should things tend to go wrong. And that's also how I tried to do my work in the working group. I could tell, well, you've seen all the numbers. That was, let's say, the capacity challenge. I think there was also, at least to me, a quality challenge, because as a member of the CCWG, how do I judge if I think this is a good proposal or this ingredient of the proposal is good or not? I did my utmost to judge that on what I should call professional assessment of what was in front of me, trying not to use my personal preferences and my personal visions, or what I thought that maybe was best for the CC, but probably detrimental to other parts of the community. I judged this plan from the perspective, does it provide us with the stick that we need? Is it a proper replacement of the role that the US has played? As such, I think it has strengths, it has weaknesses, it gives an opportunity, but there are also a few threats. Most of the strength from, especially I think from Jordan's presentation, we've already dealt with, so I won't pay too much attention to that, but my assessment is yes, it's a big, ugly, powerful stick. With that comes a few weaknesses, and one of the most important, I think, is that it's partly based on distrust. But there's also, if you're in the process of designing a big ugly stick that can kill, I think the group or the person that that stick is for is not going to feel very comfortable. And I think that's what we witnessed a few times in this whole process. We were being aggressive towards the board, and the board was being aggressive back to us. And I think it was said this morning also in the board meeting that you would hope that such a process as that we've gone through this last year would bring the community closer together and also bring the board and the community closer together, because we're trying to solve a mutual problem for the good of the internet. And I regret to say that that has not been the case. I hope that now that we have something that we all share and that we can all agree to, that we can, let me call it, work on rebuilding our relationships, but there's been some more than collateral damage along the way, I think. So it widened the gap. I'm a bit worried about the role and the position of the GAC, but opposite to most people that worry about the role and the position of the GAC. But that's a personal opinion. I think we're a bit too scared of governments, and we try to keep them too far away from us, and in the end, that makes governments very pushy. Not pushy. and it doesn't help. What is the opportunity? And that's where I completely disagree with Eberhard. We do have something at stake here, also for our community. And it is that I am convinced if we don't do this now, like Jordan also has said, we won't have a second chance anytime soon. But the fact that the US government is overseeing something that is so crucial to the stability of the internet is not something that the international community is going to accept much longer. And in the end, that can lead, and it will if we don't solve it, to the crumbling down of the internet as we know it, this one single interoperable medium. So that's, I think, where the objective for all of us is. Now, what are the threats? Short term, US Congress. So there's still a political bit to solve, Mathieu. Medium term, workshop two, work stream two, I think. There's some interesting subjects there to solve, SO, AC accountability, for instance. But there are also some subjects there that can bog us down for I don't know how long. And as an example, I could mention a framework of interpretation for human rights. Okay, my time. Medium and long-term threats. It's not my phrase, but it's the prophets that always turn into pariahs. This weird process that we send our best people to the board, and as soon as they get there, we don't trust them any longer. And we have to solve that problem because we have to work even closer with the board after the transition than we have been doing so far.
Thank you, Roloff.
I think my recommendation is clear, but I cannot push the button, but if you... Yes.
Thank you, Roloff.
Thank you.
Okay, almost 5 minutes, a little bit over, but thank you. Moving on to Giovanni.
Hi. Good morning, and thank you, Byron. I'd like to take you back to the time of the high school. I'd like to speak about Plato. Platon. Yes. Okay.
You know we only have 5 minutes, right?
In 5 minutes. I promise I'm committed to do it in 5 minutes.
Was he a prophet or a pariah?
Was a philosopher. And I was a philosopher. Don't kill my minutes. And so at the heart of his philosophy is the theory of forms or theory of ideas. Everything that he has done, ethics, psychology, political state, all these arts he was into, they are all linked to this theory. According to Plato, reality consists of two realms. First, there is the physical world, the world that we can observe with our five senses. And second, there is a world made of eternal, perfect forms or ideas. What are the forms? Plato says they are perfect templates that exist somewhere in another dimension, but he doesn't tell us where. He was very clever. These forms are the ultimate reference points for anything we observe in the physical world. They are more real than the physical objects you see in the world. So, for example, a chair in your house will be always an inferior copy of a perfect chair that exists somewhere in another dimension. A horse you see in a stable will be always an imperfect representation of some ideal horse that exists somewhere else. However, in both cases, the chair in your house and the horse in the stable are just imperfect representations of the perfect chair and horse that exist somewhere else. According to Plato, whenever you evaluate one thing as better than another, you assume that there is an absolute good from which two elements can be compared. The outcome of the CCWG Workstream 1 might not be as perfect as the outcome of the CCWG Workstream 1 that exists in another dimension. We have to live with that.
I think he's calling you a horse.
Not yet. But it is an outcome that contains new structures, procedures and actions that deserve to be tested in the long term before being fully assessed. And if we keep assuming that there is an absolute good from which two elements can be compared, we should continue to believe that what we have reached today is something that can be further refined and improved. If you ask myself, do you believe that the CCWG has delivered the perfect recommendations? Well, I would say not really. But I firmly believe that the work that we have all done as a community is a great work. And it's a step further towards that perfect template, a step further that will allow us to explore new dimensions of the multi-stakeholder model which we have all been working in the past years. And I'd like to end by referring to the work that this community, because history counts a lot and we should always remember history, the work that this community has done to amend the CCNSO bylaws of ICANN in 2004-2006. Because when ICANN presented the bylaws and they were relating to the CCNSO, this community, let's say, reacted in not so a positive way. But then, after we all calmed down, we sat together with ICANN and we worked out new ICANN bylaws for the CCNSO that allowed the CCNSO to become what it is today. So it's my firm yes to this proposal and my firm thank you to all those who contributed to this process. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Giovanni. In my 35 plus meetings at ICANN, I have never heard Plato invoked. Although more than once I've heard about alternate realities in this community. Thank you for that. And moving on to our final CCNSO appointed member of the CCWG, Mathieu.
Thank you, Byron. I don't know how you follow up on
coming after Plato.
Coming after Plato is quite challenging. And yeah, speaking with my CCTLD manager hat as the chief executive of a multi-stakeholder organization very involved in France. What I'm saying here is basically the outcome of what we've been discussing in France with a number of stakeholders around these proposals, because our vision has always been that the CCTLD is the trustee of its local internal community, and that's really the basis that we've had in engaging in this process, although considering the fact that I was a co-chair, I've certainly not been able to voice all the opinions that I would have if I hadn't been at some point. But it's we've made a good distinction between the co-chair role and the fact that as a CCTLD manager, we need to make contributions, and we did in the public comments, as well as engage with our community. So our view is that number one, and that's not on the slide, but I think it's worth mentioning, these proposals confirm and keep intact a number of key principles for our community. Number one, it is confirming that CCTLDs, ICANN has no powers over CCTLDs beyond the existing CCNSO bylaws, which we know are very limited. Number two, the narrow mission of ICANN is being much more clearly defined, and there are more effective appeals mechanisms should ICANN ever come to try and mission creep. I think that's been a constant focus of our work, and I mean for all the CCTLD members, that these principles remain. Secondly, I think coming into this work, it became obvious very quickly that most of what is going to affect us in the transition package is in the CWG. We want SLEs. We want escalation process when we have a complaint. We want the CSC. And this proposal, as Lisa just said, is the one piece of the puzzle that we need for that to become effective. And I think that's a very important aspect of the proposal, that it's also the only way we have to get this over. This request that we've had for years and years and years, and that are finally about to happen. We also are, it also addresses a number of the recurrent issues we have with ICANN, the lack of due process, the lack, the ability to interpret the mission and a number of things quite, take liberties with the interpretation of the bylaws has been, I think, a constant history within ICANN, and that's providing some effective tools to ensure that it's not the case. And finally, and to me that's a very important aspect, and for our community at AFNIC, it's a very important aspect. It secures the ability for what's still ahead of us, and especially in terms of changing ICANN's culture, making it more diverse. We are quite a diverse community within ICANN, the CCTLDs, because our motto has always been that there is no one-size-fits-all, so that's a good basis for that. But other parts of ICANN are absolutely, utterly captured by certain subgroups, and we need to work on that. We need to work on that because, as Trulov was saying, we are part of a global community that makes the internet work. And although we need the subsidiarity principle, we need to be committed into the global system, because for our respective communities, they do not care that there is a difference between CCTLDs and non-CCTLDs. They want the internet to work everywhere, all the time. And that's an expectation from them. That's why we are committed to that aspect as well. So that being said, obviously strongly encourage every member of the CCNSO, every CCTLD manager, to review everything, to ask any question, and make an informed decision in favor of approving this report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mathieu. Thank you, all of our members, for all the work that was done on the CCWG. As we've seen in the statistics and as we've heard in the commentary, it was an incredible amount of work. So thank you on behalf of the CCNSO. Now, you've heard the various opinions, you've heard the updates. Any questions? Nigel, can we, yes, get a microphone?
Thank you. Good, that's great. I'll be quick. Nigel Roberts from .gg. I've got two things, one about a technicality that was mentioned by Mathieu, and one, a comment on the overall context and the political situation in which we find ourselves. I think that the ICANN staff and board, and to some extent the CCWG, have served us poorly. And I think we've all been co-responsible for this. We have been in the process for many years of creating a private sector-led, open, multi-stakeholder organization. For myself, I took part in the International Forum on the White Paper. That's the equivalent process to what you're going through now that led to the formation of ICANN, before ICANN. I've been to nearly every meeting since. This is the third time I have seen this process running. IFWP, then again the CCNSO creation 2002/3, and then again today. I'm not speaking to the resources that have been expended. You can see from the slides that we've seen how much money and time and effort's been spent. And I commend every single member of the CCWG and the CWG, including those to which I disagree, for all their dedication and the hard work they've put in. My own political position is kind of neither here nor there. I'm slightly left of centre. But what I'm really concerned about is that what ICANN has done is to hitch our wagon, our collective wagon, to one United States partisan political side, the Democrats. ICANN, all of us, and we're co-responsible for this, has very clearly sent the message, we must get this transition done now, at all costs, because we don't trust the Republicans. I think that's very wrong. ICAN must be able to deal with all governments of all political hues going forward, despite the fact that the special nature of the US government's role, whatever that is and however legal it is or whatever, might be going away with transition. ICAN remains and will remain incorporated in California and a US organization. We will have always have a special relationship with the US government, whichever color it is. We've seen the increased attention of Senator Cruz on ICAN. And it may be that when he either fails to become president or even maybe when he succeeds to become president, he'll lose interest in ICAN. Maybe. But the Republicans will not forget that we, ICAN, have given clearly the impression of being their antagonists. And I think that's seriously wrong and dangerous for our future. Nothing we can do about it now, but I think we've made a mistake in the road that we've gone on. We should have taken the time necessary to get this done right, because there are failings in it. And I'd say in one particular case, now I'm coming specifically to the thing I want to talk to Mathieu about, I think this is a mere, in one particular case, is a mere a patina. It's an appearance of accountability. I asked somebody about 10 minutes ago how, if the accountability process was in place right now, I would proceed to initiate the recall of one of the CCNSO board members. Because if the reported remarks are true of what was said earlier this morning, that would be something I would consider right now. I was told, well, we have to get 50% of all the CCNSO members, so that's maybe 75 CCTLDs voting in favour, and then we don't get to recall. We simply get to start discussing it with other parts of ICAN in some kind of community forum. I'm sorry, you need a reasonably serious threshold to start the process, maybe 10%, and then a majority vote to remove. I think it's designed in a way that these accountability proceedings will never work effectively.
Nigel, just on your technicality, this is an incorrect reading. This, the process for that lays in the hands of each ASO or AC, so it's up to the CCNSO to decide what are the relevant thresholds that trigger this process in the board in case of the board removal.
I appreciate that. As I said, now, I've been a participant of this. There's been so much paperwork, so many changes. I've done my best to follow it.
I'm just correcting.
I have to say, if I can't follow it after spending the time that I've spent following it as a participant, I pity anybody else who...
Sure.
In following this.
But as you know, you can always reach out to us.
I was only reporting. Help. I asked the question of about 10 minutes ago, and that was the... So what you're saying is we get to decide this, but we haven't been able to decide it yet. It's not in the document.
It's not the CCWG dictating the CCNSO how to operate.
I have one more question. I have a question from... Is it on this specific point? Okay, and then we have Becky.
Can we all open our documents on Annex 2, page 12, number 55? It clearly says majority within nominating SO. This is all very nice, what's good for us, but the document says different. I don't care now what's right or wrong. We are all going to vote on something we haven't read anyway. Escalation of community powers. You have, if you want to remove an individual board member, you have to go through a stepwise process. How the internal of our this stepwise process is done is with, but it says clearly majority, and that's an indication of the quality of the work product, in my view.
Majority, it's
not a threshold to convene a community forum. You need a majority within the AC to do that. And then you need to have a second SO to do that.
But it's
no, you don't.
Oh, okay, let's not get into the technicalities, but Jordan's been the lead rapporteur on that. I think it's a good person to ask.
Thank you. Becky? Jordan, did you want to take that, please?
So If you look at the reference that Eberhard gave us, yes, it does say a majority within the nominating SO or AC to petition to remove a director. Then it says a three-quarter majority to actually enact that removal. One of the things that we've been careful about is not to dictate to SOs or ACs their internal processes. So if it's up to the CCNSO, I think, to decide whether that is a majority of the council or a majority of all the members. And the reason, as I said, that's part of the implementation discussion that I hope will be on the agenda for the CCNSO at the meeting in Helsinki in June. Because we do need to consider our options and how to organize that and how to actually do it. But I just want to correct one thing. I think one, either you or Eberhard said that there needs to be another SO or AC agreeing with this power. That's completely wrong. The removal of the directors appointed by us is only down to our decision in every respect.
So just to be clear, there is a broad audience here, and I don't want to spend our entire time with two people talking about one subject. Yeah. I recognize the importance of it, and I respect it, but let's also go to the rest of the room. So please, very brief, and then we're moving on.
Removal of board directors goes right to the heart of accountability. I just want to make a final comment. And in some respects, I don't care what Eberhard's about to say, but you didn't want to dictate to the SOs the internal process. So we are having imposed on us a 75% threshold for removal, but it's left open to us whether that's 75% of council, 75% of all the electorate, or 75% of the members attending a particular meeting. There's a kind of a contradiction there, but I now understand that we need 75% of something to remove a board member. Okay.
Okay, moving on. Becky?
So, first of all, I want to take issue with Nigel, who on many, many things I agree with, but the analysis of antagonizing the Republican Party is just way off base. You could not antagonize Senator Cruz, the junior senator from Alberta, or Donald Trump on this issue, more or less, one way or another. They will use this for political fodder. Let's just put that aside. If there is an election on November 8th, it doesn't matter who is elected. If Hillary Clinton is elected, as I hope, we will have exactly the same outcome. If we are not done by November 8th, we will wait a year at least, at a minimum. Because what happens is that all departments in the United States will be instructed not to do anything implementing any major change, no matter who. Hillary Clinton will have Ira Magaziner by her side. He will be interested and supportive of this. This will not be her first priority. It will not be her second priority. At best, we will wait a year, and it will probably be 2 years before anybody thinks about this issue again. So the deadline has nothing to do with Republicans or Democrats. It has to do with the moment in time in a political process in the United States where everybody's attention is going to be on things not ICANN. And so if you want this to happen in the reasonably near future, we need to have it happen in this time frame. Second, I just want to really take issue with, everybody here has been an incredibly helpful participant, and I value the diversity of opinions and all that. But it is not true that there is nothing for the CCTLDs in this proposal. It's just not true. The mission statement, the revised mission statement, basically limits ICANN as a matter in the bylaws to the development of bottom-up policies in a very specific and limited area through the bottom-up policy development process. That locks into the ICANN bylaws what we have and what we think we enjoy in a very particular way. And there are processes, including the independent review, for ensuring that ICANN stays within its mission. Now, yes, we have said collectively as a group, we don't want the IRP to be available for delegation, revocation, and transfer at this moment. But if ICANN steps outside of its mission, we as a group have the ability to use the tools of the rule of law that are available through this revised proposal to ensure that ICANN sticks to its mission. That is a huge deal for us. And so this is not perfect. I totally agree with that. There are lots of things I would have liked to have gotten that we didn't. But, you know, there is the rule of law is being delivered here in an important way, and we should not miss this opportunity.
Thank you, Becky. Jay, and then we're going to come back to Roloff. And then to Lisa, if we don't have any other questions. I'm going to give priority to the floor first, though.
Okay. Thank you. This is a question for Mathieu. You very helpfully explained to us the point just strengthened by Becky there, that this prevents mission creep for ICANN, or at least gives us some very strong tools to deal with mission creep for ICANN. I'm one of those people that feels we've had significant mission creep over the last few years, and I'd be interested to understand how this proposal gives us any ability to roll back some of that mission creep that has happened over the last few years.
That's a good question. Honestly, we the only discussion we've had on continuity of previous actions was related mostly to the GNSO issues related to PICS, if you're familiar with PICS and the GTLD process. And there was agreement that previous agreements, commitments, could be maintained without any question, without actually investigating whether they are within or without the, I think the term grandfathering was used. I'll turn to Becky because she's been following this more closely. There is no provision in the report specifically to say in any way that we will look back at previous actions and be able to dismantle, cancel them. So, which is, I mean, a good principle in the rule of law that you don't change the rule at some point and then it applies retroactively. But I don't know if Becky wants to follow up on that.
Okay. Becky? And anybody else from the room? Okay. Eduardo and then Patricio?
I'll just be very quick. Just in terms of rollback, it is true that we have grandfathered the provisions of the current registry agreement and registrar accreditation agreement, which may indeed account for some scope creep. They have only been grandfathered, however, until a new registry agreement or registrar accreditation agreement is negotiated. So there is a provision for a review based on the clarified standards going forward. But we're not, you know, sort of upending the contracts and opening the door to millions of claims in the IRP right now.
Thanks. First we had Roloff, and then we're going to go to Eduardo.
Yeah, my remark is triggered by the remark that we heard that Nigel would like to use the power or start using the power to remove a board director by just for the reason of a single remark of that director. I'm not responding to that directly, but what you will see in the document that those seven powers that together form this big stick that can kill if we use it, there are sincere thresholds to use those powers. And I think that's very good because we shouldn't use them frivolously. We shouldn't use them just because we don't like what somebody says or because something happens that we don't like. It's the ultimate recourse, the ultimate way to correct something that has gone really, really wrong. And in all the other situations, we should use those processes that we use best here, and that's dialogue. So that's why I think those thresholds are good. They should be there. And if you look at the particular power for an SO to remove its director, there's something to be said about that because there is the risk that we will do so because we think that director is not serving our interest best. And our directors, the directors that we appoint into the ICANN board, are not there to serve our interest. They are there to serve the interests of the entire community. So sometimes they can take positions which are good for the entire community, which maybe that we don't like. We shouldn't then proceed to remove that director because he or she is doing his job the proper way.
Thank you. Eduardo?
Thank you. My name is Eduardo Santoyo from DATCO. First of all, probably I have to thank Giovanni for bringing Platon here to the scene because it is true. This is an ideal world. It's an ideal scope of things that we would like to have. But this is another real one. As I have seen, we have been working on this because many volunteers have been working a lot of time on this, trying to get some perfect as we can, as humans can, to do situation or proposal to submit. A proposal to submit considering most of the things that we can include in this proposal. I've seen, and I'm a witness of how can we go and move forward on this since we start to work on this almost 1 year and a half ago, probably 2 years ago. And I have to thank you, all of you, to all of the people who has been spending many of his free time, of her family's time, working on this in order to get this proposal ready to be submitted at this time, which is the opportunity that we have to get the most of the process going. And as Becky said, we need to do it soon. We do it in this opportunity or we are going to last probably 2 years more discussing. For sure, we need to continue discussing in order to improve this proposal in the implementation process or probably in other changes to come before. But from now on, I feel confident that we have, and again, thank you for your work, a very good proposal to submit, and I'm in favor of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo. Patricio?
Yeah, thank you. Patricio Poblete from NIC Chile. Ultimately, we'll have to decide whether we support or not this proposal, and this has been very helpful for people like us who are still trying to understand more before making the decision. I understand that most of people in the panel are for the affirmative in that decision. So I'm going to ask Everhart, who I understand is quite unhappy about the outcome of this process. Everhart, are you unhappy enough to propose that we should reject this? And if so, what would be your view on what happens next? What about the day after that rejection? Or perhaps you are not proposing that we reject it?
I have been very careful in the choice of my language on my slide. I have also very carefully said I cannot recommend that we accept it. The answer to your real question is we just go and do it, get it right. We are being pushed and pushed and pushed to get it done now, and we are submitting a mediocre proposal. Whether every AC and SE has to report to support it, whether we can just say we reject it without prejudice, or we may give a no objection statement or whatever, that beside the point. I cannot recommend acceptance as it is now. I'm not saying that we must reject it. I will vote, if a vote gets called, I will vote against accepting it.
Thank you. Stephen, and then Annabeth.
Stephen Derrick.as. Roloff, I would like to challenge what you said earlier with respect to Nigel's comment. I acknowledge that if you're talking about recalling a board member for their fulfilling their fiduciary responsibility, I too would have an issue with that. But when you have a board member that apparently, we're waiting the transcript to verify this, essentially repudiated a CCNSO developed PDP that took over 6 years. In my book, that may well be cause to spill that member.
So I'm just going to make a comment that's in relation to what may or may not have been said in the meeting with the board this morning. It is unclear. I respect your comment, Stephen, but until we actually look at the transcript and make sure we know what we're talking about, I think we should wait until that point before we continue down this track.
No, but Stephen, then I think, you know, then still, even if it's an example, I think also in the example it's valid that we should check the facts first.
I agree. Annabeth?
Annabeth Lang.no. I would like to echo those who have said that this is an incredible work you have done. And if we are living in an ideal world, it could have been, of course, even better. But we live in a multi-stakeholder society, and a lot of different opinions out there are on the table. And in the Norwegian view, we have got as far as we can based on what we have. And as Becky says, it has to be done now if we want it in the near future. And I also agree, it's nothing to do with Republicans or Democrats. It has to be done because we know that the new government will have other things on their mind for a long time. And it's a kind of, considering all the hours that these people working on behalf of us, we have given them our trust to do this work, and they have put a lot of hours of their free time, as Eduardo said, and we should be grateful because they are willing to do this for the community as a whole. So we support it.
Thank you, Annabeth. And two more comments because we're already running late. Last one from the floor, Russell, and then a final comment from Lisa. Go ahead.
For the record, it's Russell Howard from Nominet. We just want to, in many ways, just echo what's just been said. I think there's been a tremendous amount of effort and done by the community. I'm not suggesting that we should push this forward just because of the effort that's been put in. But I do think, as we've said earlier on, the multi-stakeholder model is far from perfect. But I think it's, from Nominet's perspective, we've put an awful lot of time at the CC, at the GNSO, on a number of different councils. I think we recognize the weaknesses that are there, but support the proposal because actually it's a moment in time. It's something which is as good as I think we're going to get it. And from Nominet's perspective, we support and in many ways thank all of the effort that's gone in from the multi-stakeholder community.
Thank you. And Lisa?
I'll make it very short. I just, I'm very biased because the CWG proposal actually stands or falls with the acceptance of the accountability proposal. But this might not be perfect, but for me, I strongly believe this is a huge improvement for this community in order to have the ability to actually influence a lot of the areas that are important for us. I know, Mathieu highlighted some of them, but like we, with the IANA stewardship, we've been asking for SLEs, this Customer Standing Committee. I think we gain a real and very important influence in an area that's truly important, the heart of the internet, and that's the IANA function. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. And thank you to everybody on the panel and all of the CCWG members for a huge amount of work. This is only the first of three sessions on this topic. The goal here was to provide you candid feedback from our appointed members, to level set where we're starting this discussion from, to start the discussion itself, and to provide fodder for the next two sessions on this tomorrow, where, as you've had time to discuss and think about it, we'll be able to have more discussion, Q&A, and also a couple of more presentations. So I urge you strongly to think about what don't you understand, what are your concerns, what do you strongly support, and on balance, is there enough here to engender your support? And I also want to, again, thank all of the panelists and the interesting concept brought up by Giovanni around the idea of the perfect form versus the practical reality. Thank you very much, everybody. Just on a quick housekeeping agenda, it is lunch right now. At 1:30, we will have the marketing session, which will be chaired by Alejandra. See you back here at 1:30.